Last week, my message was glued. That's what the title of my message was. And I'm going to review a little bit of what that was all about. And so I guess this would be glued part two. Praise God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I say to you, talking to Peter, which, by the way, Peter means little rock, pebble, if you like. He says, upon this rock, you are Peter. And upon this rock, I will, uses the word build. And then he says, my church, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not be able to conquer it. We discovered last week that every believer is unique. Every believer is a masterpiece, handcrafted by God. Special vessels made for expressing the fullness of Jesus. That's what you were made for. The ministry of the church really is all people, all the people of God, activated in their unique masterpiece missions, revealing the fullness of Jesus. We're not talking about volunteers. We're talking about masterpieces. People are more than just volunteers, although we mentioned last week there is the Church of Jesus has more volunteers in it than probably any other organization. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, says God saved you by His grace when you believed. In order to get into this thing, you need to believe. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, so that none of us can boast about it in ourselves. Let me say it like this, and I'm going to, I guess, help us with a little illustration. Putting up Christmas decorations doesn't get you into heaven. Cleaning the church doesn't get you into heaven. Being an usher doesn't get you into heaven. Going to church doesn't make you Christian any more than going to Burger King makes you a hamburger. You can go to Tim's and doesn't make you a policeman. I saw a number of people with Tim's coffee. They like Tim's coffee. But that doesn't make you a policeman. It doesn't make you a Christian by just coming to church. But when you don't come to church, you miss God's school. Salvation is not a reward for doing the good things. None of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that He's planned for us. We have the relationship, and out of the relationship we do. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and He went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. He just didn't heal sick, but He did good. Praise the Lord. But you do that out of relationship. Jesus did nothing on His own. But He saw His Father doing it. He heard His Father saying it. The ministry of the church is all people activated in their unique masterpiece missions, revealing the fullness of Jesus. Because every disciple is unique, handcrafted by God. It is our responsibility as a church to help every disciple investigate their personal calling and mobilize them into their one-of-a-kind mission. Everybody has a part. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, everybody has a part. Yes, sir. This means that I'm employed to equip you for service, not just to do service. Praise God. According to Ephesians chapter 4, I'm here to come alongside you to help you in your serving others in the kingdom. See, ministry happens mostly where we live and where we work and where we learn and where we play. I told this story, I don't know if it was last week, but I told you it's a story. I was working, it was in between ministries. I was found myself in a wood shop and working. I'm not a carpenter by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I was working with a fellow that was very good at carpentry. In fact, I considered him the master carpenter. I was the helper. And I was on a, like I say, I was in between ministries. I needed money. You know, we had travel wasn't happening. We weren't preaching as much. So we went into working in this wood shop. And God had actually sent me on a detour. I didn't really realize that at that time. And what had happened was we were on our way to a job site. We were to install a stove and fireplace mantle and some nice bookends. We did custom cabinetry. I was the guy, I was more the finisher than anything. I finished the product and began to stain it or whatever it needed to be done. But we're on our way to a job site, and the gentleman that I was working with just began to cry. And then, he just really let it go. It was, I went, wow. So I started turning to him and I said, Stan, what's going on? He says, my wife left me with 5 kids. And I didn't, I out of my belly flowed living water. Out of my belly proceeded, you may not understand this, but it was tongues that I had not learned come out of me. I began to speak in tongues. It come from within me deep. The next thing I know, I'm looking over at my friend and he's also speaking in tongues. I'm going, wow. So I said to him afterwards, I said, Stan, where did that come from? What's happening? He says, I haven't done this for years. I was filled a long time ago. I had no idea. See, he didn't come to my church, and I'd never been to his church. But he just began to speak in tongues. And, wow. Come to find out that I was there doing ministry in the workplace. I don't normally act like that. I don't think I've acted like that since. It was just something at that moment that he needed and I needed. And I knew we were in the ministry. See, we consider ministry as just preaching on Sunday. Somebody told me that the only day I work is Sunday. So what's the problem? Ministry happens mostly where we live, where we work, where we learn, where we play. And this ministry requires everyone to fulfill their personal calling. And part of their calling is also to make disciples. Last week, Wilma had someone that was at the back learning the computer. And I'm thinking, that's awesome. Because in all we do, we need to have someone alongside of us. If we're going for coffee, we really need to go to take somebody to coffee with us. We don't know. Jesus sent people out 2 by 2. That's what he did. And there was support there. And there may be times when it's not possible to always go out with someone. But I believe that hospital ministry is just not for the preacher. I believe that there are people that have the anointing and that know God and know that God will hear and answer their prayer. And they're out visiting as well. Praise God. Why is that? Because you are masterpieces too. Glory to God. Everyone fulfilling their ministry and their calling. This is one of the reasons why churches have membership. It's not just to be able to vote on church leadership and policies. It's actually being a part of a network or a family. We sang about the family of God. Every family has identity, and every family has needs, and every family needs to know what they are about, what their identity is. It's knowing and living and walking in our identity, and our identity is in Christ Jesus. We portray Christ. Somebody said, well, we don't have many young people in church. We need to get them in. I have to tell you something. I believe the body of Christ works out there, outside these doors, as much as indoors. We provided a place for people to be prayed for. But there are other places. I say if you want people, you want young people, you want kids into the church, there are other ways to reach them. This place is not the only place where it's supposed to happen. I'm just happen to be the kind of guy that if I want to be, I want young people around me, then I got to go where young people are. And you can do the same thing regardless of your age. If there are activities that are going on at the school, you can find out what their activities are. If there's basketball or volleyball or soccer, you can go to their space. You have no idea what that does for young people when they see people. And they come to realize, hey, they're from, there's a whack of them from Bethel Assembly or from whatever church. They're supporting young people. You have no idea what that does. I've gone to the young people's games, and some of them have come to the church, and I usually find out where, you know, what activities they're involved in, and I go to their space. You see, that's ministry. That's children's ministry. That's youth ministry, and everybody is to be a part of that ministry. Glory to God. Not everybody can do it, but there are many people that can do it. You say, I don't know anything about that particular sport. I don't even like sports. Well, I get it. Not everybody likes sports. But I do believe that it's part of being family. My father, I don't remember my father, my earthly father, I'm talking about, coming to many of my games. I said to him one day, I said, Dad, I don't remember you coming to many. And he said, Son, I was there. You just didn't know it. And I'm thinking, well, if you were there, you could have waited until after the game and picked me up, took me home, instead of me walking home. You know. I thought, wow. But I begin to realize there's something different. Right now, I went to my wife and I, we'd go and support my boys. What ended up happening was my boys would, by the way, I'm going to say this to you, I'm a hugger. And if you don't want to be hugged, you just tell me. You that's all you have to do, and I will not be offended. But in our family, we grew up hugging. You got a hug coming, and you got a hug going, and you got a hug in between. And my wife can attest to that. Her family was totally different. They weren't a huggy family. She didn't get a hug from her father until the day we got married. You see, some people are different. If you don't want to hug, you just don't hug me, Pastor. I'm okay. But I'll tell you what, I love the family of God. And when one considers the teaching of the New Testament, one realizes that not only is the concept of the church taught, but membership is also taught. We realize that in order to be a part scripturally, that one has to accept Jesus as Savior. And then the scripture actually uses in Galatians chapter 3, it says, for you are all children of God through faith. You know how some people say, well, we're just all family. We're all God's children. And really, the only way you become God's child is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. See, Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all of you have been united with Christ. In this case, it talks about baptism. Have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is a difference in living when you accept Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. And then in Acts 2, verse 47, it says, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So, when you come to Jesus Christ, you are added into the family of God. Woo! Praise God. That's something we're shouting about. Hallelujah. That's what it is. You're added into the fellowship. See, the church, the universal church, really, the church is really not a building. It's a relationship. A relationship. Am I too loud? It's a relationship between God and man. Relationship. It's a wonderful relationship. It's more than going to church. It's a fellowship. In Luke 17, verse 20, there were some Pharisees asked Jesus, "When will the kingdom of heaven come?" And Jesus replied, "The kingdom of heaven can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or over there it is, for the kingdom of God is already among you." Wow. So that tells me the kingdom of God, being a part of the family of God, is not just a building. It's not brick and mortar. Although I'm glad you came this morning. But it's not, the kingdom of God is bigger than this building. There are other members of the family of God in other buildings that are around this place, in this area. Huh. If one is added into the family, then one needs to be identified to a family. Paul the Apostle tried this in Acts chapter 9. He arrives, in fact, his name then was Saul. He arrives in Jerusalem and tried to meet with the believers. But they were all afraid of him. They did not believe that he had become a believer. He was the guy that was persecuting believers before. But Barnabas, it says, brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on his way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. And he told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. When we discovered last week that there are 33 local churches, separate local churches, mentioned in the New Testament. There's a church at Philippi, there's the church at Corinth. In fact, the Bible talks about the saints that are at Philippi, which there were bishops and deacons there. The church at Philippi came into existence when Lydia and the jailer had their respective families when they heard the gospel and they believed the gospel, and that's a church was born. See, God added these local 33 local churches consisted of Christians in geographic areas that had banded together in a local church. So we read in different portions of Scripture, like Acts chapter 14. Upon arriving in Antioch, they called the church together and reported everything that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says, verse 18, it says, "First I hear that there are divisions among you, and when you," here it goes, "meet as a church." And 1 Corinthians 14 and 26, it says, "Well, brothers and sisters. Wow, what a big word, brothers and sisters. Sounds like a family term to me. Let me summarize. It says, when you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will have some special revelation God has given one, special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues and another will interpret. What is said, but everything that is done must strengthen all of you." Isn't this awesome? Because each one of us put forth something. Now, usually, I have the song list. But we need more people. We need some folks that will sing specials. Now, I've heard that there are some that want to sing specials. We need some specials. There are some that can. You come with to the church and you have a scripture that God has spoken to you. When you share what God gives you, it encourages the body. It should be obvious to even the casual reader that belonging to a church is really not an optional manner, but an essential part and the feature of being a Christian. And in Acts 9, Paul desires to join himself Acts 9:26, Paul desires to join himself to the church. When Paul had come to Jerusalem, in the New King James, it said, when Paul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. Here's where we were last week. To join the disciples. That word join, okay, means a close, intimate relationship. It means to glue or to cement together. It means to unite and join firmly. Glory to God. So we are glued. Paul decided that he wanted to join himself. Person who joins is not one who leaves at the sign of a problem, but when feelings get hurt, or they just run off, or sometimes they just stay away. Join is a firmness. There is a decision. And Paul decides he wants to join himself. Now, what's interesting is the church at that time had real difficulty in accepting Paul. At that time, it was Saul, but it was Paul. They had some difficulty. They were afraid of him. But until Barnabas comes along and introduces him and tells the rest of the brethren what Paul was doing, they were afraid of him. See, there were, can I say it like this? The joining was conditional. They had to get to know him. Some people, they just want to come and be a part, but I think it's a good thing to come and you find out what the vision is and what the character of the church is and those kinds of things. Ephesians 5 says it like this. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil or darkness. Instead, expose them. The people, the congregation that was in Jerusalem, they had difficulty because they didn't know Paul, Saul. They had to counsel together, if it were, if I can say it like this. 1 John 1 and 4 says, if we are living or walking, King James uses the word, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. NLT says, if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then listen to this. We have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. When I realized that membership is more than just a vote. Membership is a fellowship. You see, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the Bible says, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. So there is cleansing in fellowship. There is accountability to one another. Praise God. We receive Christ as Savior. That's the first thing. That's how we get added into the family. And then we walk in the light as he, talking about Christ, is the light. See, the light come into the world, and the light and the darkness could not comprehend the light. When you walk in darkness, you don't want to be around light. But when you are walking in light, you want to be around other light. There is fellowship. There is continuity. Praise God. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10 says, if anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But then it says, but anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. And such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by darkness. Only those walking in light can enjoy the fellowship. I'll say it like this. Anyone who is walking in the light can enjoy light fellowship. No pun intended. Because that fellowship is awesome. And wow, walking in the light. The church in Jerusalem was correct in not accepting Saul right away, based on current knowledge. But when Barnabas offered proof that Saul was a faithful Christian, one in whom they should extend fellowship and membership, Paul was one that in Jerusalem was coming in and going out, and he boldly spoke in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul had joined, and there came a point in time when the church needed to gather around him to protect him. You see, they had to even send letters of recommendation. They put him in another place where he was going to be safer. So sometimes people can transfer in, if I can say it like that, but they have letters of recommendation. What I find about when you begin to study the Word of God, there's a twofold responsibility. The twofold responsibility is this. The believer wants to join himself to a local congregation, and a local congregation makes certain facts in receiving that particular person. Remember, we are God's workmanship. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And we can't take credit for it. It is a gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. Membership is not a secret society. It's open to all who have accepted Jesus as Savior. Because of the Lord's work in us, we can have true fellowship. There is no buy-in with money. There is no good works. That person or this person just does good works. We've got to let them in. Membership is a fulfilling of a command to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing close. Assembling together is not a matter of just coming together. But there are some believers that feel that they can practice detaching themselves or be a freelance Christian, not be a member of any local church. But the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. Membership is going to mean that you're going to contribute to support the work of God. And actually, when you look at scriptures, even in 1 Corinthians 16, talks about gathering, collecting offerings for God's people in Jerusalem. And Paul says you should follow the same procedure I gave you in the churches of Galatia. It's something that they did. There was a procedure for gathering. Yes, there is giving. Yes, there is a treasury. Yes, there is a storing of the work for ministry. Christians are to be an active member. Paul taught that the functioning part of each member in the local church. Whether it was at the church at Ephesus, the saints banded together to form a local body, and each part of the body contributes to the overall growth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. This is how Paul says it. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with one another, making allowances for each other's faults. That's a big one. Making allowance for each other's faults. Is there anybody in here that doesn't have a fault? Is there anybody in here who has a fault? Man, baby, I just tell you what, man. Somebody's looking for a perfect church? I haven't seen one yet. Making allowances for each other's faults because of your love, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Listen to this. Binding yourselves together with peace. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. binding yourselves together. That's what it is to be a member of the local body. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in faith and knowledge of the Son of God that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." Verse 15. "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church." How is it that we think we can live separate from the church? When we are all to be in love, growing in every respect, like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, "Christ is helping me to work with you." Go ahead. "Christ is helping me work with you." Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. "Oh, but he's also helping you work with me." Yes, he is. Oh, praise God. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. Now, didn't I say we were all his workmanship? Each part doing its special work. It helps the other parts grow. Helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Wow. Yeah, there's times for discipline. You just have to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and chapter 5 and you'll understand that there is discipline. And yeah, there's times that some live lives that need to be considered. But I find that whole story fascinating. I wish I had time to develop that whole story, because in that discipline, it is more about the pride of individuals than it is about the sin of that particular person they were dealing with. Let's see. Allow me to close with a strong statement. One cannot be a faithful Christian without being a member of a local body. Based on the teachings of the Scripture. Now, please understand that we do not see, or we are not advocating, denominationalism. In other words, the belief in denominations. Somebody has asked me over and over and over, "Do you believe in this denomination and that denomination?" Over the years, we've worked with many denominations, chaired local ministerial fellowships and those kinds of things. I love working with other believers. I just don't see them as a separate entity. I see the body of Christ as a big house, and there are many rooms in that house. Wow. Glory to God. I ought to be able to go into a house, and I think December 2nd there is a special service where churches are coming together in the evening. I love those kinds of times. I'm not advocating separate denominations. I don't know that the Scripture really advocates different denominations. I believe in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters," there's again family, "by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ," it says, "to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions." Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Never forget, my wife reminded me of it yesterday. We had just moved to a different house in the Miramichi. We had been in the Miramichi for 26 years. Moved in this little house. And I wanted to get to know our neighbors. So our neighbor was out shoveling the front little bit of snow that was at the foot of his drive. So I went over and I said, hi, my name is Ron Ecker. I know who you are. I know what you do. I know all about you. I'm going, okay. He says, I'm Catholic. I said, okay. I says, let me tell you the difference between a Catholic and a Protestant. I said, okay. He said, I'm Catholic and stuff happened in our church and I didn't like it, so I stopped going. Catholic, if something happens in the church, we just stop going. You guys, you Protestants, if something goes wrong in your church, you just start another church. I went, wow, I don't mind you being Catholic. So that's between you and God. That's not up to me. I'm just here to make my acquaintance known. And I thought we have an awesome. Matter of fact, he's been the best neighbor I have ever had. It's been awesome. Can I tell you? Would I like to tell you? I would love to say that he became a believer, following the ways of Jesus. I can't tell you that. But I believe we live in the world. I don't have to be like the world or anything else. But I can portray the life of and the love of Jesus to all. I've had to work with people that have different lifestyles that I don't agree with. I've had to work with them. In fact, one fellow, he shook for a week, 2 weeks before we were having our meeting. He was an official in our area. He shook for 2 weeks before I got there. I was doing work for the city at that time. And he shook for 2 weeks. He said, and he told me himself, and it was spread all over I heard about it after, he was spread all over the office. He shook for 2 weeks before I got there. See, darkness doesn't like light. I get it. But I did not walk into that office to condemn him. See, I simply had a job to do. And I portrayed the love of Jesus. This says, live in harmony with each other. Let no divisions be in the church. Rather be of one mind and united in thought and purpose. For some members of Cleo's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. There's yours again. Some of you say, I follow after Paul. Others say, I follow after Apollos. Some say, I follow after Peter. Or I follow after Christ. He says, has Christ been divided into factions? We can have our differences. I don't mind somebody thinking differently than I do. You see, I can let them have their thoughts and beliefs and understandings. I can love them. You see, church membership will not be the requirement for heaven, but it will help you get there. You don't need to miss a gathering. I say, if you miss a gathering, you miss God's school. Church is a place where we learn about the Lord. We'll have membership applications. We'll have requirements outlined in the Constitution and the Statement of Faith. They'll be made available. We'll have some available in December. You'll have December and January to read requirements. You'll be able to pray. But please don't see this as a recruiting exercise. Just so that we can boast in the numbers that we have. This is not joining a fellowship just to be do voting and stuff. This is a joining, a gluing, a cementing, a relationship for the glory of God. In John chapter 13, Jesus says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. John 17, 3. In this way, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one whom you've sent. We want eternal life. We get to know God. Jesus prays for his disciples in verse 15. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe. In John 17, verse 21, he says, I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity. May they experience this gluing, this joining, this fellowship together, so that we can experience glory to God. We think it's just about voting. It's not just for the sake of voting. It's for the sake of fellowship. Glory to God. That they may experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Oh, that's awesome. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. One more verse and I close. Romans chapter 12. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. Special function. So it is with Christ's body. So we are many parts of one body. Many parts. Man, my hand does not function like my foot. I think I'd be kind of like a monkey. You see, my eyes do not function like ears. They are a special part. My eyes need to see, and they are a special part. So it is with the body of Christ. We are special. We are many parts of one body, and we belong together. We belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So God has given you the ability to prophesy. Speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, then give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility serious. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine love. And take delight in honoring. I tell you what, showing a little bit of appreciation to the Robinson family was part of honoring. We believe in honoring those that bless the church in some of the most ways that, oh, dear Lord. Why is it? Because it's absolutely important to us that we honor one another. Because we are members of one another. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, you know, in a few moments I'm going to pray. And you're going to go your separate ways. And I, by the way, welcome to our visitors that have joined us this morning. I don't know where all you stand with the Lord. And there are people I still don't know where you stand with the Lord in this place. I'm still new You see, I see those envelopes. Oh, did I tell you pastors don't make good lifeguards? Did I tell you that? Pastors don't make good lifeguards. I see that hand. Is there another? Oh, praise God. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's not a long process. In fact, it's only a start of the journey of accepting Jesus. We think that when one, just because they say a sinner's prayer, that, oh, they're saved. Well, they are. Praise God. But it's only a start of the journey. The knowing Jesus. The very first day I met my wife, well, she wasn't my wife the first time I met her. I was in her church for music. And I shook her hand and I thought, this woman has got it together. That was the start of a relationship. I had to spend some time to get to know her. When you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, yes, you acknowledge that you're a sinner. You confess your sin before Him. You thank Him for the work of the cross, the finished work of Jesus, and you receive that finished work for yourself. You're added to the church. Praise the Lord. That's only a start to the journey. And we want all to be on their road, on their journey to life. It doesn't mean joining this church. It just means joining the family of God. You see, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. One of the acts of being a part of a church is the offering. We're going to have the folks come and receive the morning offering. And by the way, if you're here new, you don't feel obligated to put anything in the offering. You know, it's offering. This offering is basically an act of worship. It's part of what we do to honor the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Charlie. God bless you. Thank you, Terry. Praise God. Why don't you stand with me? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and through the mighty name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. One day. We thank you, Lord, for each person that's bowed in your presence right now. We give you honor and glory that they have chosen to be here in this place, in this space. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing that dwells in every person that has acknowledged you as personal Lord and Savior. We're glad, Lord, to be a part of your family. We thank you, Lord, for each one that has given into this offering. We thank you, Lord, for each home that it represents. We ask, Lord, that upon those homes that you will bless them in their going out and their rising up and their sitting down in the works of their hands. We thank you, Lord, for each one. Because we realize that when we walk out those doors, we are entering your field, that are white, ready for harvesting. We thank you, Lord, for that harvest. We thank you, Lord, that the harvest is plentiful. But we also know that the laborers are few, but you've made us to be a part of that labor force. You've made us masterpieces. We are your handiwork in Christ Jesus. So I'm asking you to meet each life, mold each life, fulfill your work in each life, that they will fulfill the mandate and the mission that you have for them. They will feel fulfilled in that ministry and recognize that in you we live and move and have our being. Oh God, bless them abundantly as they go. In Jesus' name, amen.